In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Great to be here with you as we start another week. Had a great week last week, an awesome weekend. You know, I've been not traveling for the past couple of weeks. I was supposed to be overseas, but that trip got postponed. And so I've been home and back into Paris, a couple of date nights with the wife, catching up on things at home, kind of rearranging my office. You know, I've been, I got a storage facility. You know, I finally decided, you know, I'm not going to get a new office anytime soon. So I started putting, you know, a bunch of stuff away into storage. And yeah, just, you know, going out and visiting folks in the hospitals and assisted living communities, and you know, being back in the parish, preaching at Mass on Sunday and serving. It's been really, really awesome. But all good things must come. Well, not good things come to an end, but, you know, transition to other good things, like going back on the road again. So I'm leaving actually tonight, going back on the road for the rest of this week, doing a quick summer tour, because it's summer, we don't take the summer off from our Catholic faith. So I'm going to be doing a short speaking tour, the Behold the Lamb tour, where I'm going to be giving two talks. The first talk speaking about the real presence of Christ in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, followed by a quick break, about 5 minutes, and then begin the second talk about the Eucharist and evangelization, how the Eucharist empowers us to live our faith with passion and conviction. If you want to catch me, I'll be Tuesday, tomorrow night, I will be at St. Francis Retreat Center in DeWitt, Michigan. So I think I'm flying into Lansing is the airport that's closest to where I'm going to be going. So again, St. Francis Retreat Center in DeWitt, Michigan, that's from 6 to 8 p.m. tomorrow night. So if you're in that area, I know Christine Schicker from EWTN is going to be there. She already texted me. I can't wait to see you. She's one of my favorite people in the world. Looking forward to seeing Christine so we can catch up. And then Wednesday, I think this is still pending according to what I'm looking at here. But Wednesday, I may be at St. Catherine Drexel Parish in Springfield, Illinois. That'll be stop number two. Then Thursday, for sure, I'll be at St. James Catholic Church in Millstadt, Illinois. I think that's right near the Missouri border. Again, St. James Catholic Church on Wednesday in Millstadt, Illinois from 6 to 8 p.m. And then another pending event at Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Carmel, Indiana on Friday. That's pending. And then Saturday, St. Mary of the Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Aurora, Indiana. And that will be from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Again, that's St. Mary of the Immaculate Conception in Aurora, Indiana, Saturday, July 25th, from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. I love meeting all the folks that come out to talk, especially the EWTN radio and television family members. Love, love, love meeting you guys. So please come out and check me out. So if you want to come to the talk, just go to my website, deaconharold.com. Just go to my schedule and you'll see all the places where I'll be, not just for this week, but for the next month. In fact, the next year or two is also on my schedule as well. So, you know, take a wonderful a couple hours and come learn something about about the Catholic faith. I even have priests that come to these talks and say, you know, I've been a priest for 20 years and I learned something tonight. And, you know, praise God, you know, that we're, you know, that's the thing about our faith. It's like a treasure trove. You know, you never get to the bottom of it. You keep digging, 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 and you never reach the bottom. It's like an endless wellspring of different ways that God reaches out and touches us with his life, and be able to share that about the Eucharist and evangelization. I'm very excited to do that. So come in and check us out there. All right. Well, today we're talking about discrimination against motherhood. And, you know, Pope Leo the 14th gave a talk the other day about the state of the union in Europe. What's going on in Europe with dwindling populations and marriages are down, and so which means obviously children are down. And so he was talking about this kind of demographic decline, and that there's an urgent challenge for us to rise to the occasion, this pandemic of loneliness that's being created, and of course the strongly declining birth rates. And you know, he talked about the statistics, not to speak to family life, fatherhood, motherhood, and children, because obviously the children are our future. But he talks about the dignity of the person and the role, the irreplaceable role of a society founded on matrimony between, of course, a man and a woman. And he talks about also laws that, you know, curtail and doesn't respect a woman's rights to be able to have a child, you know. So all these different things. I thought, man, this would be great to go back and take a look at where kind of all this started in the book of Genesis and move forward. But I'd love to hear your thoughts about discrimination against motherhood. That's our topic today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, dial 1, then 205-271-2985. You can always email us, of course, at beacon@ew10.com. And you can even send us a text message. Text your question or your comment to 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Just give us your first name, how you're listening, followed by your brief question or comment. Remember that message and data rates may apply. Now, speaking of text messages, we received one over the weekend. Now, last week we had a show. We talked about our continuing series of God's Blueprint for a Happy Life, looking at each of the Ten Commandments and connecting those commandments to our everyday lived experience. And we went through the sixth commandment, which is adultery. And so, you know, we had a very good discussion. In fact, if you want to listen to that, there's a call at the end from a woman who was in a same-sex relationship and talked about whether, going against her union was adultery. So good conversation there. But we got a message from a listener who is anonymous. It says, "For Beacon of Truth from Anonymous. I have been a faithful believer trying to love and serve God for decades. I was married for 25 years and shamed myself by falling to a weekend adultery relationship at one point. I allowed myself to be seduced by an unbelieving man. I realized later that I was feeling deeply unloved by my husband, and could somehow rationalize my sinful behavior. Not an excuse, just saying. Later, I felt so ashamed, dirty, filthy, discouraged, and alienated from the Lord Jesus until I went to confession. It has been a long road home to Christ and forgiving myself. But God truly does forgive when we are honest with Him. Praise Him. I never did tell my husband because I felt that I would be unburdening myself and putting a burden on him that would break him. That would not be real love. And I did love him. He has since passed away. I just want to say to anyone contemplating an illicit relationship outside of their marriage vows," and she puts this in huge capital letters, "it is not worth it. If you are feeling unloved, get help. Appeal to God in prayer. Find other things to occupy your mind and life. Good things, true things, beautiful things." Wow. What a powerful witness and a powerful testimony. Well, obviously, here's someone, just like all of us, we're sinners in need of God's mercy, serious sin here, and went to confession, returned to faith in the church, felt, according to her conscience, it wasn't prudent to tell her husband about the affair, but, I'm sure they were able to to reconcile, and she had a hard time forgiving herself. Some deep lessons here for us. You know, she was feeling unloved by her husband. You know, one thing that we have to recognize is, you know, the reason some of these affairs, either way, husband cheating on his wife cheating on husband, because there's something that they feel that's missing in the relationship that this other person can give to them, you know, which is not always true. She tried to rationalize her sinful behavior. Oh, if I only do it once, it's no big deal. Or even more dangerous, you know, I'll just go to confession. I'll just do this. I'll just go to confession. Ooh, not good. And again, she talks about hard time forgiving herself. Yes, that's the hardest thing, is to forgive ourselves for the mistakes that we make. And then gives us a great warning at the end. It's not worth it. You know, turn to God for the things that are going on in your heart that are missing. Discrimination against motherhood. That's our topic today on Beacon of Truth.
Come on.
Yeah. Look at Roger Troutman and Zapp and that kind of feel, cameo.
Early Prince, like, it's in there.
Yeah, oh, yep. That's right. Want to Be Your Lover kind of thing from the first album. Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening to music with the kids the other day. We were coming back from somewhere, and it was just on shuffle. And Delirious came on from 1999, and it's got that synth part at the beginning, and they're like, all right. I was like, please tell me you know this song. They're like, no. So I cranked it up, and we're like,
You know, well, I think what I'm missing from this particular track is a little bit of heaviness of the bass. There's like that synth bass going on, but just that boom, it doesn't hit you, that boom, that low end.
Right.
I think it's missing.
Yeah, it's got a couple of it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I love the bass. It's just boom, boom. I love that, but it's just, I think the timbre is too close to the other instruments, and it just doesn't, you don't feel that bottom that you normally feel.
Yeah, I've learned tricks of the trade from other bass players that, you know, a bass has its own EQ, so turning all the highs and mids off, and then if you need to add it in the final mix, because then you get that thump, so.
Yeah.
It's hard not to fall in love with it at that point, because then it motivates.
Don't get me wrong. This is an awesome groove, man. But my ear is missing that more of the bottom end.
Yeah, agreed.
Awesome, man. Great song for the summer.
It's a Monday song.
Yeah, exactly. I'm Deacon Harold Brooks. Here is listening to Beacon of Truth, and today we're gonna talk about discrimination against motherhood. This is actually something that Pope Leo XIV, he specifically talked about when he was addressing the state of what's going on in Europe. He talked about a dramatic sterility that's happening there, and going against family-friendly policies that support abortion and things like that. And he actually used the words discrimination against motherhood. That's what I want to talk about today. Would love to hear your thoughts, because motherhood is one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given to the universe, actually. I think it's one of the most creative forces in the universe is motherhood. And, and Pope Leo's warning us that we need to be cognizant of the fact that when we reject motherhood, we're rejecting our own society, you know. So wonderful comments from the Holy Father. Would love to hear your thoughts as well. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, throughout the month, of course, as we go through the summer, deepening our walk with God and our devotion to the precious blood of Jesus, we got some great items in the religious catalog. If you get a chance, look for the Chaplet of the Most Precious Blood. It comes with card. And, of course, it is composed of 33 beads that show the 33 years of Jesus in his life on earth. So check it out, EWTNRC.com, and shop Catholic.
All right. You know, I love getting stuff in the EWTN catalog, but I have to stop getting more stuff until I get more of this. You know, it's funny, Ace. I you know those big plastic bins, storage tubs that you get like at Office Max or something like that, Office Depot? So I bought 15 of those, filled them to the brim with books that I think that I won't need for the next few years while I'm in school.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like books on like spirituality, you know, like things that are just like, but not like heavy theology. So I filled 15 of those to the brim moved them all out of my office into the storage facility. And my wife came in and looked at the office and said, I thought you moved stuff. It doesn't look, she said, it doesn't look like you moved anything.
Right.
That's how many books I had in here, man. You didn't even make a dent.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I know.
You need those like revolving ones that like on a turntable that like hide. So you like push a button and then they just hide and then it just looks like a bare wall.
I know my oldest daughter yesterday, I went to her apartment to bring lunch and just, you know, after mass, I just wanted to stop by and say hi. You know, she lives about 25 minutes from us. And she said, you need to get one of those ladders that slide across. You know, in the movies have this ladder that slides across.
Yeah.
You need to get one of those. So I need to get room for all that stuff, though. So, yeah, so it was a fun endeavor. But I bring that up because, I've been spending a lot of time with my wife these last 2 weeks, which has been great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been talking about, you know, our anniversary coming up next month and what are we going to do. And we do have a plan. And which I'm very excited about. And we just, and again, as we get closer to our anniversary, it'll be 32 years this year. And it's funny, we started going back and looking at all the different places we celebrate our anniversaries. Say, how many of them could we remember over 32 years? And obviously we can remember like the first five or something like that. But then it gets like a little sketchy. Like, where were we doing? Like, what? Right. Wait, when was the kids born? Like, what do we do that year? Were we home? You know, that kind of thing. And so, and I think about the great gift that she is to me and the great gift she is in my life. And so when I hear the Holy Father making these comments, like I tell you exactly what he said, which inspired me to do the theme for the show today. So first of all, he says that he denounced what he described rejection of Christian inspiration that was part of the founding of the European of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which he said, but now it's led to this time of drastic sterility. He says not only because too many people have been deprived of the right to be born, but also because there has been a failure to pass on the material and cultural tools that young people need to face the future. And as a result, we are not infrequently faced with the contradictory claims of purported family-friendly policies, which simultaneously promote the discrimination against motherhood. And that, so that's like, when I read that, I was like, whoa. I said, what an awesome insight. He goes on to talk about, you know, the exalting abortion and things like that. But this idea promotes the discrimination against motherhood, that there are policies that we develop as a culture, as a society, that discriminate against motherhood and therefore is kind of condemning and hurting our own future. We saw this in China, right? I mean, they had the no child policy for all those decades, and then they saw that the demographers were saying, hey, wait a minute, let's we get our population up, our economy's gonna tank and never recover. Then they started having a one child policy. Then they started having they said that was enough, a two child policy. And people are afraid to have children in China because they think, oh, that's just propaganda. They're going to take our kids away from us if we have more kids. And so, you know, everybody's worried about China this and taking over the world. They're going to implode because they're not having kids.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if maybe it's just my circle or the algorithm that God has created around me or what, but I don't know a single parent, especially women in my life, that have not said becoming a mother was the greatest thing. Even if it was while they were a teenager, or even if it was, you know, whatever the circumstances may have been and their husband left after 2 years or whatever, their children became that clarity for them of understanding God better, understanding their calling and purpose, and all of the things that go with that. And, you know, you're talking to a straight up mama's boy. So when it comes to that, you know, it's like, you know, you don't dog mamas, in my opinion. But all that to say, I realize generations change in their way of thinking of how, you know, well, I want to be different than my parent. I'm not going to be a parent because, you know, my parents were terrible and I don't want to echo that, whatever. You have a chance to break the family tree of the mindset of that through the lens of Christ, through the Catholic Church, through the opportunity of having a community around you to show you how it takes a village to raise a child, and then the legacy that's in, not behind you, in front of you, that you get to leave behind and know that God has allowed you to uproot where you came from and what you went through, and then leave all of those life lessons with your children to pass on for generations.
Yeah, and I think what feeds into all that is, well, obviously a deep relationship with the Lord, but also the inspiration of mothers and fathers.
Yeah,
you know, and today we're talking about discrimination against mothers in particular, you know, because we live in a society that rejects both fatherhood and motherhood,
sure.
Right? And even it's confusing the whole gender thing that men can become mothers and like, you know, he's pregnant. Like, wow, come on. You know, this is why I love the church and the church teaching so much. It grounds us and roots us in a way of thinking, in a way of understanding, in a way of perceiving,
yeah.
That speaks to the deepest truth of who God created us to be. So you have to. You have to confront this reality. When God speaks to us in the scripture about what it means to be a man and woman, was he lying? Are we more enlightened than God now in our culture that we think we know more than God? Well, that's just ancient way of thinking, and that's just outdated, misogynistic stuff. You know, those people didn't know anything. We have technology. We know better now. You know, and it's like, oh, wait a minute. There are some truths that are so basic, so fundamental, so foundational that despite the eons of time, that those fundamental realities don't change. And one of those is what it means to be made in the image and likeness of God, male and female, he created them. And so when we try to confuse that, we try to destroy that, we try to obfuscate that, that leads to chaos and disorder in our society. And that's what I think the Holy Father's bringing out.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, don't get me wrong, too. Dads are quickly, easily discredited a lot of times. We're seen as the buffoons of the family. And, you know, nothing drives me crazier than when I see a trailer for, you know, some, you know, like Mr. Mom kind of movie and dad's just seen as an idiot. And I'm like, I'm offended because I can be a goof, but it's only in play. And I may have moments that I need to be educated, but I'm teachable. Do not portray a man, a father rather, to be just as well. He's there to do what mom says. And mom does a lot of work. But again, it's the team. It's the two of you against the world, right? And being able to embed that into our children. Like, you know, my daughter's, you know, getting ready to be a senior, and she's already talking about what her life's going to be like when she leaves the house, which, of course, makes my wife cry. She's like, don't talk about that yet. But the connection between the two of them through their faith is one of the most beautiful things I have ever witnessed. And, you know, even when she's with her, you know, friends spending the night somewhere, she will stop what she's doing at bedtime and call to pray with my wife at 17. And I mean, that kind of legacy, that kind of opportunity of connection shows the power of the rock that a mom is in the family. Dad has his rock role as well, but mom's rock role, man, I mean, it's thick. And my mom always used to tell me, don't let anybody tell you you can't do something, and always consult God on every decision that you make. And whenever I've gone against those two things, I have failed. And I have told my mom that. I'm like, please thank you for that advice, because now, you know, in my 50s, I still go back to that. She'll be, you know, thinking about something in her life. And I'll go, well, you always said, and she'll go, I did? I go, yes, mom, you don't remember? She's like, no. But again, these are the things that we get to take with us and carry such legitimacy to a mother and her faith. And when those are passed on and when those are lived out loud, man, it changes the world.
Yeah, let me give a perspective of what you just said. So I don't watch television, but on the plane, on especially long haul flights, I watch movies, you know, whatever is showing on there. And I'll bring this up after I hear the music now for the break coming up. All right, my friends, discrimination against motherhood, reflecting on some recent comments by our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, about the state of things in Europe. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. All right, now see another groove, funky groove here, but it got that bottom end this time.
I would like to point out, for those who love the 90s grunge When you listen to Nirvana, just know that Dave Grohl was heavily influenced by the Gap Band. So really listen to those snare hits. He wasn't redefining drumming, and not to take away from him as a drummer, he's amazing. But the influence that overbleeds into grunge that started from this style of music is what makes me laugh. Or, you know, it's all supposed to be dark and grimacing, and I'm like, black 'em. You know, it's like,
You know what's interesting? I've been again watching a lot of Rush videos. I'm more particularly interested in how Annika Nilis has been evolving as a drummer. Is the more they've been on tour now for a little over a month now. And so I've been listening to certain songs to hear how she's been progressing over time. And you know, the one song that, at least in my opinion, where she's putting more of herself in. Is YYZ, YYZ, as they say in Canada. And, you know, and but like when I'm hearing those snare hits, you know, and I know that song pretty well from a drummer, so I've heard that many times. I know what Neil's parts sound like.
Sure.
But she pop, and then pop, pop. I'm like, whoa. She had a little bit of hip hop, like a, you know, like pop, and then pop, pop. I'm like, whoa, that was cool, you know? Yeah. And even the fills, you know, she's like, you can tell she's more comfortable with the songs, and at least with that song, she's not so concerned with getting in every note exactly right and getting the feel exactly so everybody can say, oh, she sounds just like Neil. I mean, she's starting to put more of her, at least and I can definitely hear that in that particular song.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I mean, this gets back to what we were talking about before, you know, that when God has given you a gift, that you you respect the gift that God has given you, and you use it for, you know, in the way that God has given you to use it. Now, here's a woman, and I'm so glad that I have not heard people saying, "Well, oh, she's a woman drummer." She's, you know, look, she's when you take the place of a legend, you know, I think some people felt that she couldn't do it because she's not a man,
right?
You know, and she admitted in an interview that she doesn't have the strength that normally she's that men have when they play. So she has to compensate that with technique that makes up for it. So, because when you hear her play, you don't hear the same heaviness which with Neil play, but she's got I think she's got a flair, she's got a pass, she's got a drive that and you see every night, you see the guys just smiling like, oh, this is so great. I'm so glad we keep getting to do this. You know, it's awesome.
Well, and I think I thought about this the other day because my feed kind of shows like a new clip every day, it seems like.
Yeah.
But discovering Rush for the first time, like, I mean, you know, there's always like that meme of if you could go back and rediscover a band for the first time, who would, you know, and, you know, people drop different names, you know, of whoever they're thinking about. But, man, if she is bringing in the next generation of Rush fans and they're finding her just because she's generationally there, like, wow, someone my age or in my, you know, generation is playing with this legendary band. I mean, maybe I should check them out. And you just gravitate to them in that fashion. That's what I love about Earth, Wind & Fire, that it's, you know, family now supporting family. They've got their sons and daughters in the group. So the next generation of Earth, Wind & Fire song fans are coming in with these legendary songs. They're like, oh, that's mom's music. Nuh-uh, that's mine now. You know, it's like you're adopting it as your own because you have a deeper or another connection to it.
Yeah, they're coming to Oregon, too, by the way.
You got
to
go.
My wife and I were looking at the anniversary stuff, and we saw that. Although it's not, it's next month. It's happening in September. So we went, and I'll be gone, so I won't be able to go to the concert. But yeah, but they're coming out here.
Yeah, I saw him with Lionel Richie. Amazing! It's a great night.
Yeah. Love that group. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Listen to Beacon of Truth, and today we're talking about discrimination against motherhood, reflecting on a comment that was made by Pope Leo XIV as he was addressing the situation going on in Europe. The kind of demographic decline, and he specifically said that as a result of all the things that are going on, these different policies that are being developed, he talked about it was promoting discrimination against motherhood. And I read that, I'm like, ooh, that'd be a great thing to talk about on the show. That's what we're talking about today. And, of course, would love to hear from you. Give us a call today, 833-288 EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, if you're looking for something to do this summer, getting into your Bible in a year, and yes, I know it's not January 1st, but the great thing is you just pick up with where Father Mike Schmidt is tonight. You can catch it each and every weeknight, 10 Eastern, with the Catechism in a Year, Bible in a Year, easy to find at EWTN Radio.
All right, discrimination against motherhood. That's our topic today. Of course, would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, this discrimination against motherhood, which the Holy Father is talking about, actually started way back. I'm talking about biblical. So in Genesis chapter 3 in the garden, it says, now we know that Adam was there with his wife Eve, made in God's image and likeness. Awesome. But now it says the serpent was more subtle than all the other creatures that God had made. So the serpent, or Nahash in Hebrew, means monster. So, of course, this is the devil. This is Satan. You know, of course, prior to this the incident in the garden, Satan was in heaven. And we see in Revelation chapter 12 that Satan said he will no longer serve. And so he got into a battle with Michael and the other archangels. And it says in Revelation 12 that Satan and his demons were exorcizo. They were cast out from heaven to earth. So that's how the devil got to earth. And the devil's whole point is to destroy covenant relationship with God, to destroy divine intimacy, to destroy the desire for God's life in us, and to turn toward ourselves and away from God. And so when he goes to do that, he goes after the woman first, not her husband. He goes after the woman first. Now, some people think, oh, well, you know, she's weaker. She's not as smart. She's more gullible. She's more of that. Like, no. He went after her for primarily because she is the one who gives life. She is the one through whom God has ordained that life should come. And Satan is the author of death. And so he goes after the one who brings forth life, and he lies to her. And he says, nah, you don't need God. You just have to focus on yourself, you know, and her husband, who was there with her, should have served, protected and defended her and said, nope, Satan, we're going to listen to God. We're not listening to you. No, if you want to get through her, you got to come through me. But that didn't happen. He stood there and he was just as enthralled by the things that he was saying, and stood there and did nothing while Satan destroyed first his wife and then his family. And then, of course, covenant relationship with God and bringing original sin into the world. Those the first thing after the fall, they knew they were naked. You know, they knew they were naked. So the first thing that they realize, they don't no longer see each other the way God sees them, looking at each other through God's eyes. They see each other as objects for being used and exploited. You can't tell me that's a huge issue in our culture today. So this started way, way back in the garden. This is what's so awesome about the Blessed Virgin Mary. You know, God used a woman as a vehicle to bring sin into the world with her husband being complicit and doing nothing. And God used the most blessed of all women, the Blessed Virgin Mary, whose husband Joseph, who says nothing, but did everything faithfully that God asked him to do. Now you begin to understand why motherhood is so powerful and important. You know, and I just want to say this too. When I'm watching the movies on the plane, because I think what Hollywood's trying to do is overcompensate, you know, because of the, you know, obviously Hollywood falls for the cultural narrative. If there's toxic masculinity, we have to show, you know, women in stronger roles. So, which is fine, you know. So now when you see a lot of movies like the Star Wars or other movies, even television series, where women are playing more heroic roles, you know, kind of lead roles, which I have no, we know where they're like shooting guns. That's fine. But the problem I have is the way they're portraying the women is like they're men. You know, it's like we're doing the same things that men do. You know, I was thinking, you know, if women would handle things differently. In fact, John Paul II says in Mulieris Dignitatem that women are actually, he believes, would be the vehicles for peace. You know, not saying that they can't fight, but I'm saying that they would be that if we were to strive for peace, it's not in the way that men would do it. So I have no problem with them, you know, having women in stronger roles, but let them be women, you know, and to handle things and to deal with things and to address things the way a woman would. You know, not necessarily just, you know, putting a gun in her hands like, look what I can do. I'm just like a man. Like, no, I think women have a whole different way of thinking and approaching things. But I think our culture would strongly benefit from discrimination against motherhood. That's our topic today. Riffing off some comments by our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, where he talks about policies in Europe that are anti-family. And he said, promotes the discrimination against motherhood. That's our topic today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Scott is calling from Arizona, listening on Sirius XM 130. Scott, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Deacon. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Great to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm your Arizona drummer. Anytime you need to come in town, let's play.
All right.
No doubt.
All right.
And we have to play Cult of Personality from Living Color. You know that one?
Yeah, great riff in that song. Yep.
I know. Yep. So I wanted to, it's more of a comment. You had a caller that came in a day ago, maybe 2 days ago, and she was church shopping. And she wanted to know what the Catholic Church thought about her situation with her female partner. Mm-hmm. And the way you delivered the message was beautiful. I mean, it was all full of love behind every committed statement you made on the church's position. And I actually used it in speaking with some people recently about the power of the woman in motherhood and relating it to the question that I asked this person. I said, do you believe that you as a woman has a special genius that can complement the man in a relationship in raising a child? And she couldn't deny that question by saying no. It's of course yes, no matter what her position is and what she thinks about, you know, homosexuality or whatever the case may be. She couldn't deny that question, otherwise she would be degrading her own self. And you had helped me and launched off that in listening to you. Your response to that woman, which you did with so much gentleness and care and love, which is the way we need to deliver our message. Everybody does. As soon as you condemn, you're gone. You're lost.
Yep.
So I just wanted to really just say thank you for that, because it launched me into that conversation. And I use that all the time. You know, I truly believe that, because you had said something that they do. You know, there is love there. There is love there. But there really is a better way. There really is a better way, and it's under God's providence, you know, in his teaching. So not so much a question, more of a comment, but I want to say thank you.
Well, I appreciate that, Scott, very much. You know, St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, that we are to speak the truth in love, right? And it has to be in love, but it always has to be the truth. And so that's what I try to do. You know, I think... Scott, many of us are guilty. We're trying to explain the faith that we have to get defensive, that we have to try to craft a position where we sound, you know, more intellectual or more like, let me just try to persuade you here. And I think the element that's missing from a lot of that conversation is a loving approach. So I think some people think a loving approach means you're weakening the faith, you're dumbing down the faith, you know, you're watering it down. Now, as you said, I most certainly did not do that. But the thing is, there's a way. Look, the goal is, how do I get this person I'm speaking to even if it's a person that doesn't agree with my position at all, how do I get them to want to listen to more of what I have to say? You know, that's the key. How do I get them to want to come back and keep asking questions and keep going deeper and keep searching for that love, you know, that only God can give, that space in our heart that only God can fulfill. That's the goal. And so I appreciate that very, very much, Scott. And definitely, if I'm coming back to, I'm coming to Arizona. Ooh, I don't got my calendar in front of me, but I know I'm going back to Arizona. I'm doing a men's thing, and what city is that in? It's right near, not too far from Phoenix. I'm gonna be doing a men's conference, and can come back and doing a parish thing. I think that's gonna be in December. But take a look at my schedule, Scott. Would love to jam with you. That'd be a lot of fun. All right, we're talking about discrimination against motherhood today, speaking about some comments from our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, when he's talking about the situation in Europe, this kind of demographic winter that's happening with the decrease in population. And he specifically mentioned that a lot of these policies are discriminating against women. And would love to hear your thoughts today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Now, Scott mentioned briefly about the feminine genius. So this was something that John Paul II wrote about. And if you want to get a deeper perspective on this, Pope John Paul II wrote an amazing document called Mulieris Dignitatem, on the dignity and vocation of women. You can find it. I'm sure the EW10 catalog has. If you want a hard copy, you can Google it and I'm sure download that. That would be something awesome to read in Eucharistic Adoration. I read that. I was a senior in college. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever read in my life about women. It changed my whole way of thinking and understanding and approaching women and femininity. It was a document that really got me on fire for love for my faith again, you know, and as an adult this time, you know, not just the faith that my beautiful mom handed on to me. It wasn't just all the heart, it was the head and that heart, that beautiful combination that John Paul II did so incredibly well. But that document really rocked me. But one thing he talks about there is the feminine genius. And when I think about what that means with regard to motherhood, I think of not just physical motherhood, but spiritual motherhood. And one of the exemplars of that was Mother Angelica. Think about it. This is a woman who never had a child. You know, but oh my goodness, she was a spiritual mother to literally millions of people all around the world. You know, not only her wit, but her wisdom, her writings, the patience and the love. But she had to be tough. You know, boy, when she had to, she spoke the truth in love, you know, but I think of how such a beautiful spiritual mother, and all of all of the nuns, you know, how beautiful their spirituality is, how they enrich the life of the church as spiritual mothers. You know, what a beautiful gift. In fact, you know, that's why I love when I see them wearing their veils. That's their wedding gown. You know, Revelation 19, verse 9 says, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast or wedding supper of the Lamb. You know, where Christ, the eternal bridegroom, will be giving love and life to his bride, the church, forever in heaven. And I think nuns, sisters, embody that when they wear their habits, they wear their veils. You know, and whenever I see that, reminds us. See, when I look at a nun, or a sister, sister and nun, I use those interchangeably, but technically a nun is a woman religious who's cloistered, and a sister is one it's like the Nashville Dominicans or the Ann Arbor Dominicans. They would be sisters, whereas Mother Angelica and those, they would be nuns because they're cloistered. That's kind of a technical difference, but I use them kind of interchangeably. But whenever I see a nun or sister dressed in the habit, that is immediately my mind goes to the church. They represent Christ's bride, the church. You know, and so when I see them, you know, you don't see the physical fruit because they don't have kids, but you see the beautiful fruit of their love, of their patience, of their, like when they're teaching in the classroom, the children, you can tell they really are approaching them just not as pedagogues, right, giving information, but they're approaching from a very motherly perspective, you know, and they bring all the feminine intuition and insight into a situation, which is something that men don't do. You know, they're able to look at a child and see that child in a way that only a mother can, right? And so it was the Bible. She brings out the best in me, you know? So even women religious, sisters and nuns, bring out the best in us, you know, by seeing us through the eyes of a woman in a very feminine, in a very beautiful, in a very life-giving, a life-affirming way. That's beautiful. And so when we don't have those gifts, we fall into, you know, the temptation of thinking that, you know, well, we don't have kids, but we have AI, or we don't have kids, we have to, like, hold on here, you know. So I think the Holy Father, in addressing this issue, I think is speaking very powerfully to us today. And when he speaks, we need to listen. I mean, some of the stats that he gave were staggering. He said in 2024, the birth rate was 7.9 live births per 1,000 inhabitants. And the median age was 44.9 years old. You know, so we're having kids like older and older, and, you know, and without the children, there's no future. Without children, there is no future. He said the solution to this demographic challenge lies in the fundamental dignity of all human persons and the role of family within society. So he's echoing the same things that John Paul II wrote about in Familiaris Consortio, his beautiful encyclical letter on the family in the modern world. So the same things that John Paul II wrote about, you know, 40 years ago are the same things that are, again, the same issues that are brought up in our culture today. You know, it may have a different spin, but it's the same issues. You know, he said that the family, the Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, said the family is the first and irreplaceable school of social life, founded on marriage between a man and a woman. So speaking boldly and courageously in the face of a culture that rejects the beauty of the truth and the values that we hold so dear to us today as people of faith. And so he called for a fresh spring tide of the family, you know, to promote policies that promote the flourishing of human families, especially the great gift of motherhood. You know, so I just love the Holy Father's thoughts here on what we can do to fight this discrimination against motherhood. And of course, would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also text us at 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. And we received a text from Anthony, who's a frequent contributor, a friend of the show, whose son Jojo passed away. But Anthony's a regular listener to the show from my state of New Jersey. He lives down the shore, as we used to say, in Toms River, New Jersey. And so he's playing Beacon of Truth on his JBL speaker out on his patio. And he said he loves today's topic of being a good parent, especially, again, talking about discrimination against motherhood specifically, because I'm sure you can understand why, especially because you take so much pride in being a great dad, as do I. You don't have to relay my message today on the radio, but I'm doing it anyway in the event that you cannot. But I ask that you please keep, please, my brother, welcome my call in sometime between August 10th and the 14th. And that's when his son, who passed away, will be 21 years old. And so Jesus holding him close to the Sacred Heart, and the Holy Mother embracing her with his Immaculate Heart, and all the family who passed away, including my mother, absolutely overshowering my only son with love. Right? That's beautiful. And regarding today's topic, I'm the father, and not only JoJo's, because of the mother I've had. Love you, my brother, always. All right. Thank you so much. Always great to hear from you, my friend. Was it referring to something referring on TV? Oh, yeah. So I was talking about watching on the plane about the roles of women taking the place of men. But, you know, I think that we can have strong feminine women roles in film, which is great. But to show really more of what it means to be a woman in the way that God created them, I think that'd be awesome. All right, hitting the road. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about finding forgiveness when you feel unforgivable. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio or download the EWTN app. Until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.